Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Lost Skills Podcast, where we help you learn the skills you need to survive modern life and not cut somebody off. What a jerk. Pull out in front of me. Anyway, today's episode is going to be how to buy a used car. I have some thoughts on this. This was something I saw in the Survival Punks group. Someone wanted to know how to buy a used car, so I'm gonna make this into two topics: how to buy a used car, and then how to sell your car for the most amount of money. It's gonna be two different shows. I have thoughts on that as well. It's worked for me several times to sell my car for the best you can get. With that being said, let's get into the sponsors of the show. Today's sponsor is going to be SimpleShot.com. If you guys want the most awesome slingshot you can get one from SimpleShot.com. Get the hammer. The hammer is like a big transformer. You just take the top off, stick another top off, and bam, you have a sling bow. Then you can hunt small game with it. I bet you could probably take medium-sized game with it if you had to in a survival situation. Although I wouldn't recommend it for everyday use. But for smaller game and stuff, the sling bow on there, more than enough. I mean, that thing, it's got some power behind it. When you pull it back, you know you're pulling back something with a little bit of power. Just not quite enough for white-tailed deer. But in a situation where you needed to, I'd risk it. Probably do even better if you use carbon fiber arrows. That way they, you know, if they get bent or not anything, they're still good afterwards. But check them out, guys. They were a sponsor in the membership area. They sent me a hammer to review for free. I thought it was a great slingshot, and I don't get to use it as much as I wish I could, but now that things are getting back to normal in life, I'm going to use it more. I'm going to take it outside and practice, and my daughter wanted to learn how to shoot a slingshot, so I had her shooting it one day. I'd probably get her own slingshot that's, you know, a regular one and maybe cheaper. That way we can both shoot at the same time. But yeah, get it, and I'll probably buy it from Simple Shot. More than likely. Just saying. Okay, everyone, the next sponsor is going to be the Scav and Scout Chronicles page on Facebook. They're a friend of the show. They're in, Scav is in the Survival Punks group, and his dog Scout is a service dog, goes with him everywhere. So he started doing a page where he kind of chronicles what they do, and it helps bring awareness to veteran issues. You know, Scav is a U.S. military veteran, and he's an all-around cool guy, and his dog, he's so cute. I mean, Scav's kind of ugly, but the dog's cute. And he posts stuff about on there about post-traumatic stress and bringing awareness to that. And just bringing awareness to a variety of issues that military veterans face. And, you know, their page, there's lots of pictures of his dog. He's trying to bring awareness for service dogs and stuff. It's a great page. You guys go check them out. I can't say enough. Really great guy. He gave me a shout out on his page for my podcast. Just figured, you know, I wanted to help him get some more listeners or some more viewers on Facebook and stuff. So that's what I'm going to use the sponsors for the show about. I'm going to talk about things I want to bring awareness to. You know, I try getting paid sponsors and stuff, and I just can't. Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody gets sponsors now. I'm tired of that shit. Maybe eventually I'll get some paid sponsors, but you know what? I don't. So I am going to talk about the people and things that I think deserve recognition. So yeah, please check out the Scav and Scout Conicles. He is also a member of the Survival Punks Facebook group. So if you go there and join, then you could talk to him there. So with that, let's get on with the show. Tell him I sent you. Another sponsor of the show is the Survival Punks Facebook group. Guys, go check out the Survival Punks. They're an awesome group of people. I'm an administrator there. James from Survival Punk owns the Facebook page. I just help out sometimes. Have to kick out the occasional person. But most of the time, honestly, the amount of people that get kicked out are very, very low. It is one of the most well-behaved and, just best group of people that a person could ask for to talk to. I check every day. I go and check them out before I do anything else. I get up, get on my phone, check the Survival Punks group, because you never know what you're going to see in there. There's a great support for the members. I have problems with someone on my Facebook page, and they went over there and got them out. I didn't want to be the person to block anybody from my page or to, you know, say, hey, you're not welcome here. I don't usually delete comments on my Facebook page. But, you know, I'm not against the discouragement of certain people being there. And the group got together, helped, and went over there and discouraged that person from following my page. I don't understand why they follow my page. Very liberal. And a lot of times I post stuff about Second Amendment and they get pissed off about it. And then that person always made a comment. They never commented on anything on my page except for when I made a gun post. And they always had to make some kind of thing like, as long as it's not a bloodthirsty person. But, and it's like, no, I just want to teach kids how to use firearms, you asshole. Sorry, Aaron. Sorry. Anyway, Aaron knows what I mean. Most of the time, Aaron has children listening to him with the podcast. I try to keep it family friendly, but sometimes those words just slip out. Oh well. I don't sweat that too much. Like, I let my kids, my daughter listen to the Survival Punk podcast, and those guys swear a lot. Only time I usually turn it off is if start making some comments about sex. She doesn't need to hear that yet, but I mean, the swear words. It's nothing she hasn't heard me say in the garage before I throw a wrench or something. Okay. I'm done dicking around in the beginning here. For those of you that found the podcast not through iTunes and you want to use iTunes, should be coming soon if it's not there already. It takes a while for iTunes to update, and they're just assholes. Sorry again. Okay, let's get into the topic, how to buy a used car. Well, I guess it depends where you're going to buy your... It doesn't really depend. That's a lie. It depends on the person you're buying the car from, and I guess the place. If you're going to buy a car from a dealer, a lot of times if you're in the local area, you know who the good car dealers are, who the bad car dealers are, and who you're going to get a discount car from. There's a dealer by me who I know for a fact goes to the auto auction and he buys cars. Well, when you buy cars from the auto auction, you don't get to inspect them first. You buy them as is, bring them back, inspect them. So they don't 100% know the history of the vehicle. So you have those type of people. And there's a lot of the small mom and pop car lots that have 10, 20 cars. That's what they do. They go to an auto auction, they buy cars, bring them back. Sometimes they bring them back on trailers because they They think they can fix whatever and make a couple bucks, and sometimes they just drive them back. Sometimes you find out that it's got a cracked head on the way home. It's just the way it is. It's a crapshoot for them as well. And then you have the regular car lots who take cars in on trades. Sometimes they take those trades, clean them up, put them on the lot. Sometimes they take them to the auto auction. Just want to lay the groundwork for how this all goes. So, you know, first off, you have to do a little bit of research on the person you're buying the car from. If it's a dealer, you need to look, you know, does everybody happy when they buy a car from them? There are nasty comments on their Facebook page. That's usually a pretty good indication. If you're in a group about your area, like there's Krivitz Area Talk for me, and there have been a few people that spoke displeasure with the one car lot I was just referencing to that buys them from the auction. And that's a good place. Say, hey, anybody bought, go on that group, say, hey, anybody bought a car from so-and-so? Did you have good luck? What's your experiences? Do they fix things? Yeah, I mean, that's one good way of doing it. If you've got 90 people telling you, no, I wouldn't buy a car there, and five saying, I had a great car, probably not the place to buy. Buying it from a private party, so much harder to do. Sometimes you see that person selling a lot of cars on Facebook and stuff. But, you know, I mean, you could look them up. I would say go by the person's appearance, but sometimes that's deceiving. You know, sometimes the dirty, grubby-looking guy is the guy you want to buy the car from because he maintains his stuff. And he's always busy doing stuff. Anyway, first off, let's ask them if it's okay to take it to a dealer, or not to a dealer, but to a mechanic to have it looked at. If they tell you no, and this was brought up in the Survival Punks group, and this is a really, really good answer. If they say no, just say, I'm not interested in buying the car then, because obviously they're hiding something. And if they ask you why, say, well, you obviously must feel that it's not going to pass an inspection from a mechanic. I'm not looking for a perfect car. If it needs a little bit of work, we can barter on the price, or dicker on the price. That's not a big deal. But if they flat out tell you no, probably don't want that car. They're going to find something. I've let people take the cars and go wherever, usually. As long as it's licensed, I really don't care. Now, I got another flag man today. I wish they just repaved the damn road instead of pea gravel and tar in the whole thing. They're doing it with a hand thing, so it takes forever. Ask him if he could take it to a mechanic. Take it to a mechanic, say, hey, how much you charge for vehicle inspection? If they charge, that's fine. If not, you know, rock on. And, you know, if they want to do it for free, you know, just tell them you want a comprehensive list of what's wrong and roughly how much it will be to fix it. A good mechanic will be able to tell you, hey, you know, it needs wheel bearings. It's roughly going to be from this range to this range. It could be, you know, it could be from $300 to $600. They'll be able to tell you that. That's something they'll definitely be able to tell you. Oh, if you guys could hear the gravel hitting my truck. Good thing I don't own a new vehicle. You know, they should be able to give you a range. Just say, I don't need specific numbers. I just need something to go back to the person so I can, you know, I could dicker on price with them. And most mechanics would be more than happy to do that. And they want to do that. Mechanics want to do that because if there is a problem, then you may bring that car back to them. a crooked mechanic is going to tell you more than what's wrong with it, and a good one's going to tell you what's wrong with it. So either way, you're going to know if there's things wrong. That's one way of doing it. But I'm going to tell you there's a few things you can do yourself. So we got that out of the way. Taking it to a professional. You can even take it to a dealer. A lot of dealers will do inspections. A lot of times dealers charge you money. If you can find a mom and pop mechanic like Steve at Steve's Auto Repair, give Steve a little shout out. He's a buddy of mine. He also used to be tech support on the podcast. If you could get a small mom and pop mechanic shop to do it, a lot of times it's free. If you take it to a dealer, a lot of times they charge you money. So here's a few things you could do for yourself. If they'll let you take the car, take it home. First, if they say, hey, I live like 5 miles down the road, do you mind if I take the car home and check it out? If they say yes, good deal. Here's where you start. You take the car home, pop the hood. First thing you do, one of the first things you do is pull the dipstick, check the oil. If it's black as coal, you know, that's something you just bring up. Say, hey, this oil's really filthy. When's the last time I had oil change? They should be able to tell you. Or if it needs one, you know, maybe make that part of you buying the car. Next thing you pull out is the transmission dipstick. Car doesn't have to be running. Just pull a dipstick out. The first thing you do, look at the fluid. Is it a nice pink color? If you don't know what transmission fluid looks like, get a brand new quart of transmission fluid. Open it up, put a little bit on a white piece of paper. That's what color it should be. It should be a pinkish color. Not brown, not black. Then, smell it. Does it smell burnt? Now, a lot of times, if someone burns transmission, sometimes they'll change the fluid, hoping that it'll last a little bit longer and they sell the vehicle. But the burnt smell almost always comes through, just because you never actually change all of your transmission fluid. You change, your torque converter holds like 4 quarts, so once you put the new fluid in, it mixes back up, and there's still a smell. Smell it. Does it smell burnt? You can also taste it. Just take a little bit on the tip of your finger, stick it on your tongue. Don't lick the dipstick. You don't have to just lick it like it's an ice cream cone or nothing. Just a little bit on your tongue. You'll tell if it's burnt or not. If it's burnt, no dice. Don't buy it. Unless you want to put a transmission in. If it's brown, don't buy it. If it's any other color than pink, let me say again, do not buy it. Just friendly advice. Unless you have another one sitting around for parts. There's always that road. Because it will leave you stranded. First, another thing you could do is look at the engine compartment. Are there leaks? Does it look like there's seeping and then dirt's collected, and you can just kind of see like an oil seep come out of any part of the engine? Does the person take care of it? Like if they put oil in it, does it look like they wipe it up or just leave a big stain there? The power steering fluid. Well, here's where you need to start the car. You start the car, check the power steering fluid. It should be at the proper levels. Have the car running, check the transmission fluid. Should be running at the proper level. Then you can shut the car off again. Look at the belts. Do the belts have a bunch of cracks in them? If they are, they're going to need to be changed. It's something you're going to need to do. Now, the reason I say look at the belts is not only can it just leave you stranded with a busted alternator, well, if the belt goes now, the alternator, the water pump, usually all of that is run off one belt. Sometimes there's timing belts. And that's one other thing you need to find out is, hey, does this have a timing belt? You can look it up on Google. Just Google the car. lot of times the motor says what it is right on the fancy cover on top of it. And it just say timing belt, timing chain. If it's a belt, it needs to be changed every 100,000 or so. If it's a chain, a lot of times no one ever changes a chain until it's a problem. The reason I say that is find out if it has a belt or a chain. And if you could see it, try to find the condition of it, because some cars, if that timing belt breaks, the valves will hit the top of the pistons and you bend all the valves and you have to pull the head off, change all the valves. Very costly fix. If it doesn't ruin pistons, then it's an even more costly fix. That's one thing to look at. Look at your radiator hoses. Do you see any leaks? Are there any wet spots? That's what you're looking for when you're looking at the engine. Everybody pops out and looks at an engine, and some people say, I don't know what I'm looking at. You're looking to see if this thing's leaking. You're just looking to see if it's leaking like it's got bullet holes all over it. I mean, if it's leaking, there's issues that need to be taken care of. Yes, you can drive a vehicle around with leaky valve covers. I've done it for my whole life. This truck has leaky valve covers just because I'm too lazy to fix it. But then you know you have to add oil. If you want a brand new pristine motor, you're probably not going to buy a super old car. I buy old cars. My truck I'm driving now is a 98 Chevy. So it's almost 20 years old. It still runs good. It's got 209,000. It's just a pup yet. So that's pretty much it with the motor. Check the coolant tank. Make sure there's coolant in it. A car without coolant in the coolant tank could signal a problem. Could signal that, you know, the jerk just doesn't top off his coolant tank. But more than likely, if it's losing coolant, it's going somewhere. Or it's leaking out of the side of the motor, inside the motor, anything. That's all the things you can do to the motor from the top. Okay, that's the things you need to look at. Now, if you get to take it home, like I said, next thing you do is jack it up. Get yourself a good quality floor jack. If you don't have one, go buy one, because you should have one. Jack your vehicle up, put it on jack stands. You're going to have to crawl under it. You're going to have to get dirty. If you have a garage, it's not such a big deal. If you have the outside, you have dirt. You know what dirt's like when you crawl under it. I did it for years. The one thing you're going to do is crawl under the motor. Look for leaks. Oil pan leaks, the rear of the motor, you know, where it connects to the transmission. You want to see if there's leaks there. Are there leaks on the transmission? Are there leaks anywhere? I mean, you're still looking for leaks. Leaks signify problems. It's just how severe a problem. If it's a transmission leak, you might have to add transmission fluid all the time. If it's oil, you might have to add oil. If it's an oil leak at the rear of the motor, like on a V8 engine, if it's a rear main seal, those are very costly to fix, because you have to take the transmission, pull it back, hit the rumble strip. You have to drop the oil pan, you have to pull the cap, you have to change your stuff. It's not usually a cheap fix. Where the motor hooks to the tranny, if oil comes out of there, not a good thing. I forgot water pump. Look around the water pump. If you can find the water pump and you know what a water pump looks like, look around the water pump, see if there's any leaks. You could also do this from the bottom. Look at the power steering, if it's down towards the bottom like it is on my truck, see if there's leaks. Inspect the hoses. Here's one of the important parts. Look at the cross member under by the motor, where the part between the two tires, to put it in easy layman's terms. The frame of the car, does it have dents? Does it have big scratches? Does it have oil all over it? Look at those things. Those things are important. Dents and big scratches means it's been bottomed out or hit something. whether it's a curb, a stump, a pole, whatever, something sticking out of the ground in a field, you don't know. Look at the oil pan, see if that's got, usually that's above that cross member, but if that cross member has dents and scratches and stuff, something happened to the front of that car to some degree. It could have went off the road into the ditch. Anything that's bent could cause alignment issues. So now you could look at all that stuff. Look at your exhaust system. Everybody knows what an exhaust system is. I shouldn't have to explain. Look at it. Is it rusty? Does it have holes? Most vehicles now have stainless steel exhaust systems, and they just fail because of cracking. If your exhaust system has a black spot on it, it probably means you have a stainless exhaust and there's a crack and there's exhaust gases coming through. It gets like black soot around where there's cracks and stuff. But you should know, excuse me, my voice just cracked a little, hitting puberty. You should notice any leaks as being loud exhaust, but if there's any exhaust work to be done, that's something you need to take into consideration. A lot of times now everybody uses stainless, so it's not so cheap, but they do use like the cheapest stainless they can on a car exhaust, unless you buy a really fancy one. Look at the oil pan. Look at, see if there's leaks around the oil pan. Now look at the tire. You'll see a little spot where there's like grease fittings and boots. That's ball joints. If you don't know what a ball joint is, look up a picture, find out what a ball joint looks like. There's always a rubber boot. Are those boots tore? Look underneath there. There's tie rod ends, boots, all that. See if it's tore. If you have a second person there, have them just wiggle the steering wheel back and forth a little bit. Not enough to move the tires. Just see if anything down there moves. You can actually hold on to one of the tires and have them wiggle it. And you'll see if like a tie rod end is loose or something. You do that for both sides. Look at all that stuff. If it has front drive shaft CV axles, which are the front drive shaft axles for people that don't know. Look at the boots. Are they tore? Are they ripped? Are they throwing grease out when they drive down the road? You'll see there'll be like a line of grease underneath the car. If they are, those are going to need to be replaced. I'm sorry, there's no way around it. So, that's all stuff to check. You can get a pry bar behind a ball joint sometimes, and you can wiggle them. If they wiggle, then they need to be replaced. They're getting worn. And one of these days, I should make a video for this. I'll have to put this down for video ideas to do a video. Maybe I'll take my truck and make a YouTube video how to do this. Once stuff kind of calms down, maybe this fall I'll get to it. The next thing you need to do, if your vehicle has a rear drive shaft, just crawl over there, wiggle the drive shaft back and forth. The back wheels could still be on the ground, but if you hear like a clunk, 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 and the drive shaft moves, but the part on the transmission doesn't move, this would be for a pickup truck, more or less. You need to change U-joints. They're not really expensive. They're like $12 a piece. If you have a really big vise in your garage, you could do it yourself, or take it somewhere and have a couple pressed on. It's not that big a deal. Make sure the U-joints are good. Crawl to the back end. There's a plug on the side of every rear end. Usually it takes a 3/8 ratchet or a 1/2 inch ratchet, depending on the rear end. But most of the time, I think they're 3/8. Get a 3/8 ratchet with an extension. Stick it in there. Open it up. See if you could. There's fluid. If you could stick like your pinky in the hole and feel any fluid. see what, you know, if it's full topped off, what if there's any leaks around the gaskets back there or anything. So now we're going to get out from below the vehicle. Okay, now the next place to look is at the tires. Now there's a look at the tires, see if they're weather checked. Weather checking is little cracks in the tires. See if there's any wire showing. There's little steel wires. Look and see if there's, you know, any bulges in the tires. That's where you want to look. Easy way to check tread depth is you take a quarter, flip it upside down, and if you can see the top of George Washington's head, the tires are pretty well worn out. There's another way to check tread depth on the tires. The manufacturers on almost every tire that I've ever seen, and I don't know if it's a standard or not, has a spot that's, there's little grooves in the tires. Oh, not grooves, there's little nubs inside the tread. And if you look at the sidewall of the tire, usually it's indicated, it's in like, I think it's in four spots. It'll be indicated with an arrow on the tire, a little triangle that points up to the tread. And if you look, you find that spot, you can see where the wear indicators are. If you look at your tire and you see a line, a solid line of rubber that goes right across the tread, and then those tires are no good. The manufacturer says those tires are at the end of their service life. And more than likely, if you take a ride in a rainstorm, you will find out that they are at the end of their service life. They'll slide around on the road a lot. They just won't shed water. But there's a tread wear indicator on all tires, I do believe. Otherwise, like I said, take a quarter. You can see George Washington's head, top of his head. The tires are going to need replacing. I know they changed it. I don't remember who. They tried to say it was a nickel now or something. But I always go by the quarter rule. Everybody, or maybe it was a penny they changed it to. One of them. Anyway, I always used a quarter, if I remember right. I could be wrong. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of tired. But I was pretty sure it was a quarter. And maybe the penny was the new standard that they go by. But look at that. Look at the rims. See if... Well, not the rims. They don't call them a rim. They're called wheels. Look and see if there's any like dust covering the wheels. If there is, that could indicate massive wear on the brakes. If you have one that's got all kinds of powder on it and the other ones all look clean, that means that brake at one time hung up and put a lot of stuff on the rim. Just call it a rim. On the rim, everybody knows what a rim is. Just look at that. And the next thing you're going to want to do, if you have it jacked up. Oh, excuse me. Next thing you're going to want to do if you jack it up is to just take the tires off. Jack the front up, take the tires off. Look at the brakes. Most cars, if you look at the brakes, there's a little like tab of metal that's at the end of the brake pad. If that little tab of metal is touching the rotor, the big metal round piece, trying to think of how to explain it, if that's touching, the squealer, it would make a squealing sound. That says your brakes need to be redone. But you can look on the inside of the caliper. That's the big block of steel that sits on top of the round part. It's hard to explain. But you can look up what pictures for all of the things I'm saying. Look at the brake caliper. You can look inside and you can see the brake pads. They should look like they're evenly worn. If one side's worn more than the other, that indicates there's brake problems. It's not the end of the world. It's just, it's something that's going to have to get fixed. Or if the brake pads that are inside, there'll be a metal piece and then a piece that, it's not really metal. Some are semi-metallic, but the pad material itself, if there's not a lot left, that indicates it needs brakes. While you got it off, look at the shocks or the struts or in the front. See if they're leaking, anything like that. I know I'm kind of going in depth, but if you want to thoroughly know what you're buying, this is what you could do. I can look a car over in a very short amount of time because I know what I'm looking for. A lot of times I don't even have to jack them up. And as you buy cars, you get better at it. You can do that. Check both sides of the front. Check the brakes on both sides. Also, jack the back up. Do the same. A lot of vehicles now are four-wheel disc brakes, so you can see the pads in the back. Hear that? Or like the disc drum a lot of cars have. The only thing that's really got drums in the back anymore are pickup trucks. And a lot of those are disc brakes now, too. Drum brakes, you have to remove the drum and look at it. And most of the time, drum brakes aren't bad. They last a really long time. Most of your stopping is done in the front. But you can remove them, look at the pads. If there's disc brakes in the back, look at that. Look at the shocks in the back, struts, see if anything's leaking. And that's pretty much it. There's the looking at the interior, seeing if everything's nice, the seat belts function, turn it on, see if there's any check engine lights. One thing you can do is you could buy yourself a code scanner on eBay, or Harbor Freight sells them, and it's a diagnostic tool, and they're like $70, so like almost everybody should just own one, right? Especially if you want to do some stuff on your cars, you should just own one. Get one with ABS that can scan for ABS codes. Those are like $120, $130. Get one of those. Now the plug-in port is somewhere under the steering wheel of the vehicle. It's almost always it's either on the right side or the left side, up under the dash, kind of. Plug the diagnostic tool in, turn the key, and it'll connect to the car's computer, and it'll tell you if there's any error codes that haven't been cleared or erased or anything like that. And that you can, it'll give you a number like P0025. They'll always start with a P. I do believe, I think they're P's. And it'll tell you, evaporation leak. They're almost all the codes are the same for all the vehicles. So it'll tell you, it'll give you a general description where any issues may lie. A lot of times they have emission status. It'll tell you, that is very simple. It's either red, yellow, or green. And that'll tell you just if your O2 sensors are working good and stuff. You can get a computer that streams live data and stuff. I mean, you don't need one unless you're getting into some really big time diagnostics. Just a regular scan tool will be plenty. One thing you can look for, and this goes to underneath the hood of the car again. Most of the time, when a car is built, they'll fasten the fenders and stuff, and they paint everything before it gets put back together, or gets put together. They'll put the fenders on, then they paint it. So all the fasteners will be the same color as the car. A lot of lot of times they're not different colors. Look along the fender seams to see if there's damage, any bubbling, or any sign that looks like things were fixed. Sometimes, if they paint a fender, you could see that it doesn't match the original part of the car. Or if you look at the bolts and the holes, you could see like it had been taken off and the fender was adjusted and then tightened back down. There's like messed up little scratches in the paint right around where the holes are. That indicates that there was some kind of accident or something was moved. It was pushed out of alignment and perhaps pushed back into alignment. Maybe it was a deer collision or something. But a lot of times cars are made to buckle along the front fenders. On the inside, you can they have crumple zones, and you can see if it was a light strike, like a deer strike, somewhere where something's bent or bowed where it shouldn't be. I think that's pretty much it. I hope this episode was helpful. I know there's a lot of information that I talked about. You know, you might have to listen to this episode once or twice to get it all. Maybe just make some notes. I tried to think of everything that I look for when I look at a car. I mean, when I look at a car, I look a car over. I look it over extremely well. Trying to think if that helps. Now, I hope that everybody in the Survival Punks group that wanted to listen or wanted to hear this episode just gives it a listen. I hope that it helps you guys find out what you need to buy a car. Buying a used car doesn't have to be a gamble. It doesn't have to be a horrifying experience. It doesn't have to suck at all. Just be aware of some of the things I talked about today. And with the next episode, I'm going to tell you how to get the most money out of your vehicle when you go to sell it. And it involves just some work that you do yourself. Being organized. Stuff like that. But, yeah, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. I'm kind of tired. I'm yawning. I had to stop and record the second part of this after work because I didn't have enough time on the way to work. So I may have missed things. I'm a little tired. And, yeah, I just hope you guys enjoy the new episodes. And, you know, with that being said, guys, just remember to learn how to do things yourself, and you won't have to worry about taking your car to the shop and having it checked out if you want to buy it. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.